B-Pod Studios.
Man who covers the Major League Baseball scene like no other. He's going into the Hall of Fame in just a little bit. Next week, in fact, with the J.G. Spink Award, he is Jason Starr. Jason, what happened with the All-Star game?
Mike, I did get there. It wasn't easy. Just to give you a little taste of my travel plans, I was in three different airports that I didn't fly in or out of. My luggage went to a fourth airport, which was not Cleveland.
Oh, no!
I boarded two flights and didn't fly on either of them, and neither of them was going to Cleveland. It was that kind of trip. I wound up renting a car and driving because
from where?
It wasn't working out for me.
From where did you drive? What airport?
I wound up renting a car from Trenton Airport.
Oh, my God. And drove to Cleveland?
That's what I did.
When did you get there?
31 hours. Got there. I left the house Saturday morning and got there Sunday night.
Oh, my God. Well, Jason, at least you got there. So,
I got there.
Yeah. So what was the, tell me what the scene was like and, the home run derby and, the game was kind of a snoozer, but you cover so many all-star games. What do you look for when you go to an all-star game?
Well, I mean, the two things that are my favorite things are that the derby has become one of the great shows in sports. I watched a guy hit 91 home runs in one night.
Yeah. He was pretty amazing. And Tyrone's a little cheesed that 91 did not win because of the format they had. What did you think? Was that unfair?
It's not fair, but the format makes it fun. The format has really energized the event. Head-to-head is great. The clock is great. All those things make it way more entertaining than it's ever been at any point. It's way more entertaining than the game. You know why? Because the Home Run Derby showcases the great talent of these hitters, and the game does the opposite.
Right? Yeah, it does. It showcases the pitchers. And it's funny, nobody was complaining about the ball being juiced last night.
I missed the juice ball last night.
Yeah. all right, so let's talk about this home run contest. First of all, Vladdy Jr. Now, how does he get signed by the Toronto Blue Jays? Like, how do people miss him and Toronto gets him?
Oh, nobody missed him. He was a, this was a bidding war. Blue Jays won the bidding war. They scouted him. They targeted him. They had a big international pool that year. It all lined up for him.
Okay, so they paid the most money to get him.
Absolutely.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, he looks like he's just going to be a monster.
Yeah, he got called up too soon. I think if they were being honest, they'd say that the media pressure got so intense that they had to call him up, and he wasn't ready. And he's shown that. He's still figuring out how to deal with big league pitching. But if you just look at his numbers in Double A and Triple A, he was better than his dad. And he hit more home runs in every round than his dad hit in the 200 home run derbies that he entered combined.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing show. And Jock Peterson, I felt bad for him because he had a chance to clip him couple final swings and didn't get it done. And Alonso winds up winning. Do you think that they will change the format in any way and make it cumulative? Because 91 is 91.
Yeah, they got away from that. They love the head-to-head. I'm not sure exactly how they could change it.
Should they reseed it? Like, after the first round, they man a home run, then just reseed. And then you might have had Jock Peterson going against Vladdy for the finals.
It's an idea, but I don't know how many Pete Alonso could have hit if he had to.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up in a really good draw where in the first two rounds, he won basically via walk-off, didn't have to even use his extra time. Conserved a lot of energy, conserved a lot of swings. Sometimes it just works out that way. I don't care who wins. Of course, it's not me not winning $1 million, but the it's not unusual for the biggest memory of the Derby to be a guy who didn't win it.
Yeah.
Josh Hamilton in Yankee Stadium in 2008, that's the prime example.
Yeah.
We don't remember who won.
Yeah, you're right. Let's talk about this ball thing, because you've been writing about it. Manfred says, you know, the owners don't like the rising tide of dingers. And not only that, but we haven't juiced the ball, and anybody says so is lying. So what is the deal with this thing?
All right. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time writing about this, talking about this, asking a lot of questions about this. And I really don't think that Rob Manfred woke up one morning a few years ago and said, well, we got to juice the ball. I really don't think that's what happened. I think this is a really, this is a very unique process. Now, you know, other people have used this analogy, but, you know, they make golf balls out of rubber on, you know, it's all made with machines and technology. And the baseball is being sewn by hand by women in Costa Rica, you know, using all natural products. Mm-hmm. And it creates a lot of variables. The one thing I give them credit for is they haven't tried to pretend this year that it's not the ball. They know it is. Uh-huh. They can't figure out exactly what happened. And here's the problem. They need to do more than figure out what happened. They have to figure out how to manufacture a ball and know what it's going to do before they realize that every home run record ever known to mankind is going to be broken.
But here's the thing. As a consumer, I don't care. I kind of like it.
Yeah, well,
why are we protecting the fans from something that they probably want?
I was going to ask that question yesterday, but I'd ask way too many. but watching the home run derby, I thought to myself, people love the home run. you don't want to take the home run out of the game. What you do want to do is add more action. You know, and that's about more than the baseball. That's about trying to figure out a way to counteract all velocity in the sport. 95 and up. Everybody throws 95 right. to 102.
Yes.
And I honestly think at some point they could move the mound back if they could ever get the union.
Oh, my. This is like moving the rim up because there's too many dunks.
Well, how would you counteract velocity? Guys can't hit. Hitters, very few hitters, even great hitters, can handle this. What would you do about it?
I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't change baseball one iota. I've been on the record a million times. I think the game is perfect. I think guys throwing 95 to 100 is good. I think the bats being harder is good. I think the ball being juiced is fantastic. I love it.
I'm not a guy who says the game was better 20 years ago. I'm just not that guy. I think what the game needs is better rhythm, you know, and basically more action, more people running around the bases and more.
Nice. You want to see balls in the gap. You want to see singles and doubles more.
I don't necessarily want to see more singles and doubles, but I do want to see. I want more to happen in these games than is currently happening. There's five singles a game. The Phillies had that game, against the Braves where they got six singles in the first inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's one night in the life of most teams, six singles.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think it's perfection. So,
look, I love the game. You're not going to talk me into that. That doesn't mean you can't tweak it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Phillies. And now we have to get serious because they have to decide whether they can really go for it or whether they just can't make enough deals to make it happen. Where do you think they are right now? What do you expect to happen?
This is a big week, obviously. You're playing the Nationals, who are 28-11 over the last 6 weeks, and the Dodgers, who are the best team in the league and are just going to cruise like 110 wins. You got to survive this week going into it 6.5 games out. I don't see how you could look at this team and be in go-for-it mode. But I also would be really surprised, barring just a complete meltdown, if they don't make deals. There's a lot of ways to do this. I don't think this is a team that it makes any sense to give up real prospects for rental players. But I do think it makes sense to look for controllable players pieces you can put in place for next week. And let me, you know, because I had so much travel, disaster, I had such a travel debacle. I didn't get the Futures game. I didn't get to see all the GMs and executives that go to that game. So I don't have that for you. But one thing I'm convinced after hanging around Cleveland for 2 days is Trevor Bauer is going to get traded. And ask yourself this. Would you trade, say, Zach Eflin and Donis Medina and maybe another piece for Trevor Bauer with a year and a half controls all this year and all next year?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Now, is that what my question, I guess, did the Phillies have enough to make a deal like that? Like, is Adonis Medina?
I just made one for you.
Well, is Adonis Medina and Eflin enough to get Trevor Bauer?
I don't know. I think he's going to be what Chris Archer was last year. The Rays are on the way to winning 90 games and still traded Chris Archer and made an incredible deal for Austin Meadows, made the All-Star team, and a pitcher who was going to make the All-Star team. It was the best pitcher in the league in April, and a pitching prospect who is a monster, right? So that's the template here.
All right, so what you're saying is they can't get anybody of significance like him unless they trade an Adonis Medina.
To get a difference maker.
Yes, Medina's got to go.
I think so, and probably if the Indians are going to need a big league ready starter back because they're going to want to still attempt to make the playoffs, they'd be in the playoffs if they started today.
Right.
So it's a tricky deal to make, but that's what I'm saying. Those are the kind of deals to look at if you're the Phillies.
I got you. Would they trade Bohm? Would they trade Bohm in a deal like that?
I don't see that. Okay. Because that's a position of need.
Okay. All right. So Medina may go if they're really serious.
I mean, it's got to be just the right guy. Just the right guy.
All right.
They've had so many pitching prospects go backward. So many prospects, period, who have gone backward this year for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's hurt their ability to make the big deal. They can still make smaller deals. As I've told you several times, they can make the Jay Bruce-type deals or the kind of deals they made last year for guys who just give them depth and flexibility and more maneuverability. But is that enough? How many starting pitchers do they need to trade for? Two? Three?
Probably.
Four?
Two, at least. yeah. All right. By the way, I did see the Futures game, and I wanted to get your opinion on this because I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, how in the world is he not in the big leagues? And that's the kid, the Blue Jays prospect, Nate, whatever his name is, throws 101.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
I'm
throwing a 101 and 89 mile an hour slider. His walk to strikeout ratio is amazing.
Yeah, well, the Blue Jays are in no hurry, right, to bring all their guys up there. This is about timing the rebuild. Vlad and Craig Biggio's son are in the big leagues. Dante Bichette's kid is going to be great. He's been hurt, so they're taking their time with him. They've got all these guys coming. It's about timing. They're in no rush. They're going to lose 100 games.
Yeah, I get Nate Pearson is his name. I mean, that kid just popped off the screen. I'm going, how is he not a big league?
They got quite a system. Yeah. They got some guys. Wow.
All right, Jason, sorry you had some troubles, but good stuff as usual.
Okay, man, it was like living in a sitcom.
All right, man, take it easy. all right, well, by the way, when do you give your speech? What day will that be?
Okay, this is a week from Saturday. Saturday, July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there's going to be a bunch of Philadelphians coming up to Cooperstown for Roy Halladay, and please come to Doubleday Field. Please, I would love to look out into that crowd and see a bunch of red shirts,
beautiful,
see a bunch of friendly faces.
Got, awesome. Got the speech written? All good?
It's written. We're still tinkering.
Tweaking it?
But yeah, it's written.
All right. Your first instinct is always your best. You know that when you write a story.
It wasn't this time. I actually wrote a speech, tore it up, and started over. But
it's going to be spectacular.
We're good to go here, man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Jace. Good luck to you. All right, man. There he is, Jason Stark. Inducted in the Hall of Fame for the J.G. Spink Award.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.